Praise God. I spoke to a few people earlier and I said, I like a congregation that talks back to me. I don't like a child that talks back to me, but I like a congregation that talks back to me. So it's okay to talk back today. Amen? Okay, you guys are awake? Okay, some of you. Well, first off, I have to always, as I always start off when I'm speaking, thank Pastor Wes for the honor and the privilege and the ability to be here to speak with you guys today. Thank you, Pastor Wes, for opening your pulpit and allowing me to share. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to turn in Scripture to Galatians. Some say Galatians, some say Galatians. However you say it, it's Galatians, whatever. Galatians chapter 3, and starting in verse 2 and 4 is where we're going to be. But before we do that, there's something that I read in one of the recent books that I was reading. It was the opening, the intro of the book. And I wanted to share it with you today, but I customized it to being prepared for a sermon. So here we go. Here's what it says. It says, so do you really want to get results in your life? As I read that opening line about to read this book, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, I'm reading this book. You know, I want to sharpen this area of my life. It says, if you do, this sermon needs your full attention. My advice is do not zone out, but don't do it for me. It doesn't change my life whether you listen or you don't. This is about you. This will only take the next hour to hour and a half. Just kidding. The next 25 to 30 minutes for you to listen. But it needs your full attention. So if you're ready, say, let's go.
Let's go.
All right. So I think there's a few of you that are ready today. So we're in Galatians chapter 3. And again, I read that. I did not write that just for you guys, so I'm not trying to come across saying you need to pay attention to me because it's not about me again. Galatians chapter 3 in verse 2, it says this, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Look at your neighbor and say, are you so foolish? After, don't answer the question you asked them. Because some of you, I saw you asking, are you so foolish? And you're like, yeah, you're answering for them. But here it is. It says, are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, let us pray. Father God, I thank you right now for this privilege to be able to bring your word. But Lord, I pray that it would not just be my words, but it would be your words spoken through me today. Lord, because as even Pastor spoke, we come from different places, even from different places and different things and situations this week. Father God, wherever we find ourselves, I pray, Lord, that we would take what applies to our life and what you're speaking to us individually, and you would help us to apply it to our lives so that we could be made new today. Lord, guard our hearts, open our hearts, open our minds. I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you so foolish? When I first read that, I was thinking, okay, maybe I am. Maybe we are foolish. And today I want to talk to you, if you can't guess the sermon series or the sermon title, if you saw it up on the screen, it's Are You Running on Empty? And so today I want to talk to you about running on empty and a few things that I feel cause us to run on empty. As individuals, as a congregation, you know, we run on empty. So there was a quick little survey I did with some of my friends online, and I asked this question, how many miles till empty before you fill up? Because I see some in this room hitting someone next to you because you know they like to wait forever, 3 miles. And this is what the survey says. Try not to go below a quarter of a tank, especially in the winter. Until the orange light comes on, and sometimes then my husband still needs to remind me when the light comes on. Anywhere between 0 and 15 miles, usually, this next person couldn't just answer the question. They had asked their own questions. Is it summer or winter? That makes a big difference. I'm more likely to avoid stopping to get gas when it's cold out, even though I probably should. sooner. But who has time for common sense? That was their response. One of the other ones was, when I can't drift behind the vehicle in front of me any longer. Guilty, they said. Usually I pull over about at a half a tank. Another one said, at 40, but if you ask my husband or my father, it's 100. Little lying there, but I'm not judging. A quarter of a tank. This next one I really love. And it says, depending on the surroundings. Let me just pause there for a minute. We do the same thing spiritually, don't we? Depending on our surroundings, whether we allow God to fill us. If our surroundings are good, we're good, things are okay, I can go a little further, right? Just a thought. When I hit zero, and then I take advantage of the grace period. Grace. So beautiful, but it's taken misadvantage. We take advantage of grace so much. Why do we wait so long? And why do we run on empty in our lives? Why? Maybe it's the surroundings as we spoke of. Maybe it's you don't really know if the gauge is right. How many have ever been in a vehicle where the gauge just bounces? And you know it's broke. And so you, if you're smart, you try to reset. You fill it up and you kind of watch the miles that you go so you know what you are. But then someone filled it up and didn't reset it. Then you're like all off and you're like, do I need gas? Do I not? Then you stop and it only takes a gallon and you're like, I guess it was full. When your gauges are broke, you miss the signs that are in front of you. Spiritually, that happens as well. We let our gauges break or we just ignore the warning signs that are there altogether and then we don't fill up so that we can flow out. So today I want to break down the word empty. And I want to do that because there's a few things that I get out of the word empty that I feel we run on empty and what causes us to run on empty. Here we go. Thank you. E. That's how you spell empty. You start with E, right? E. We've lost our engagement. Many times we lose our engagement. We lose our engagement with God. We lose our engagement with others, and we lose our engagement with the facts. We lose engagement with those things, and it causes us to run on empty. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, let us hold unwavering to the hope we profess. How many of you have hope? How many of you profess your hope? Do you hang on to that? Do you hold on to that? And it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. In the weeks that we've seen this past week, are you spurring one another on in love and in good deeds? And then it says in verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. As we've mentioned and pastors mentioned in weeks gone by about the average attender that calls themselves a faithful attender to the church, shows up 13 to 15 times a year and calls himself a full-time attender. That tells me it's a little over once a month. So the chances are there's some in this room, and I'm not here to condemn or anything, but I'm here just giving the facts. We avoid the facts, and then we wonder why we run on empty. We avoid meeting together. We avoid each other, the engagement with each other. Have you ever noticed when you're having a bad day, what do? You pull yourself back from someone else, right? Anyone? Or is that just me sometimes? You'll go to your office, you'll go to your thing, you just kind of ignore everyone. Your engagement, you're running on empty. Your engagement with others, your engagement with God. Some of the times we lose engagement with God, and you want to know why? Sometimes success causes us to lose our engagement with God. How many of you have ever, you've needed God, you've prayed to God, you get that, then you get a little bit of the answer, and you're like, oh, I'm good. And you start going about your business. Everything's great, everything's fine. We lose engagement sometimes with success. You would think you would become more engaged over success because you give the honor and the glory to who? To God, because he gave it to you. Sometimes we lose engagement with others because fear of failure. How many of you ever, you fear failing in front of somebody. You fear that in presentation. You fear that because you don't want to engage with others because it shows sometimes vulnerability. We don't engage. We're worried about what people will think about us. So we back up our engagement. And then we become isolated. And then guess what? Who are you listening to? Yourself. And what the devil is putting in your mind about you. And when you begin to allow those things to come in your mind, they come in your heart, then they become your actions. So here's the thing. I want you to guard yourself so you're not running on empty. Because you're saying, okay, I want to not run on empty any longer. I don't want to run on empty in my engagements. I want to be fully engaged with someone. You need to engage yourself in the facts. What is the dashboard telling you? Since we're using gas, we're using a car, how many of you right now you say you have a warning sign on your gauges and it's just there? Anyone? It's too much trouble to address it, right? You got to take it. Some of them got to take it in, plug it into the computer. They read you a code. You don't know what the code means. They got to tell you what the code means. And then you're like, do I trust you? You know, there's a lot of great and honest mechanics, but then everyone's ran into that one that hasn't been. Right? And so here's the thing. Just like every mechanic, do you base every mechanic on that one you didn't trust? Do you base every pastor on that one you didn't trust? Oh, I got quiet. Maybe I'll back off of that one for a minute. But the thing is, we don't just throw it out as a blanket thing. But you know why we do that? It's because we're not engaged with one another. We don't know one another. We need the engagement. We can't ignore the facts. However, we need to understand that the truth always trumps the facts. Every single time, the truth of God will overcome the facts of your life. Because there's a lot of times we have gauges that are warning this, warning that, and we look at that and we can get run down and beat up because of it. But you know what? You combat that with the truth of God. And it says in John chapter 8, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You're not free for the moment. You are free indeed. You walk in that freedom. You live in that freedom. You are excited because of the freedom. Right? Scripture also says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's handiwork. Each and every one of you. As Pastor said earlier, your differences, you're his handiwork. He is proud of you. My father-in-law uses this illustration, and I love it because what he does is he'll sometimes pull out his wallet, and he shows pictures of his grandkids because he's a happy grandpa. But what he says is, he says, you know what? If God had a wallet, every one of your pictures would be in it. Every single one of you would have your picture in that because you are his handiwork. He is proud of you, even when you're not proud of yourself. He's proud of you because he knows what you're going to become. He knows what he's created you to do. He knows what you should be walking in, and he is proud of you. Every one of you that have kids, you're proud of your kids, even if they're not always behaving. You love them. You cherish them. They are your handiwork. So today, will we choose to refocus our engagement? Because most of us in this room, including myself at times, we've lost our engagement with God, with others, and with the facts. Will we choose today to refocus our engagement? Because if we choose to refocus on our engagement, we'll begin to see the gas tank of our life go from E, just starting to go up. Just starting to go up, just a little bit. And then it takes us to the next thing, which the next letter in empty is M. The reason why some of us are running on empty in this place is because we've lost our meditation. We've lost our quiet time with God. We've lost our intentional time with hearing from the Father. And we're going to run on empty every single time. And it's my prayer that we would stop running on empty because of a lack of meditation. Meditation is actually, it is to spend time or quiet through the religious purpose or relaxation. If when you spend time with God, you're not relaxed afterwards, are you just doing a habit? Are you just doing scripture reading? Are you just praying to pray and go through the list and say, check that? But do you feel something different when you pray? Do you feel something different in the Word? It's just the living Word. It comes alive to you. Meditation gives you relaxation. You're before God. You're in His presence. You and I in this place, we need to resume our meditation. Listen to this in Psalms chapter 18, verse 30. It says, as for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. How many of you ever had a problem, a situation, or issue? You can raise two hands if it's a double issue, you know, right? You take refuge. He takes refuge. He is your protector. He is your guide. He is those things. But if you're not meditating, you're not spending time with Him, how can He be your refuge? We need to meditate. We need to resume our meditation because chances are, at some point, your meditation may have been better than it was right now. I know there's seasons, there's different times in my life where I can track and look back that my meditation wasn't where it was, and now I see the correlation of me running on empty. And I see the moments where I am living on the reserve. Pastor and I were talking earlier about some of these vehicles back in the day, the pickup trucks used to have two tanks. You fill up the one in the front and the back, and as you're driving, you flip the switch and it changes tanks, things like that. It's the reserve. But you know what? You can only run on the reserve so long. You can only fool people so long. Soon you're going to be drifting along, and someone's going to call you on it. We need to be mindful that meditation is also another thing that fills that tank. That tank that we run on empty. Meditation helps fill it. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says this. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. Are you growing through the word of God? Are you growing through your meditation? Is your faith being built up? Because sometimes, if we're honest, we may say we have faith, but it's not there. Anyone ever lack in faith, if you're honest? My hand's up. My hand's not just up for illustration. My hand's up. I've lacked in faith. Because we do. But it's our meditation that builds up that faith. As we go from what was E? Engagement. What was next? Meditation. Now we go to the letter P. If I'm spelling it correct, it's P. We've lost our priorities. We lose our priorities so easily. You ever heard the saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil? The thing in your life that makes the most noise gets the most attention? What is it that has your priorities? What is it that is keeping you? What is it? We need to understand that when we prioritize the past, we rob ourselves of our future. Because every one of us in this place, we've prioritized our past, good or bad, but then it robs us of the future. And we need to understand that our priorities, when they get out of line, they get out of whack, they get out of order. How many of you ever walked up to a vending machine and it says, out of order? Walk up to a bathroom at a stop on a long trip and you really have to go and it says, out of order? Right? You got to go somewhere else. It's out of order. It needs service. The chances are when you and I begin to allow our priorities to get out of order, an out of service sign comes up on our life that we need to be addressing Because you know what? We can't serve if our priorities are out. We need to understand the importance of prioritizing things. And you don't prioritize your past because it will rob you of your future, good or bad. We need to realign our priorities. What do you think about when you wake up? What do you think about when you go to sleep? What are you thinking about right now? Ask yourself those things over the next 24 hours. What's consuming my thoughts? Yesterday, we had a conversation with our son because our son has known that his great-grandparents were in a car accident and had some things going on. So every time we sit down to pray, whether it be bedtime, lunchtime, dinner time, whatever we do, he's always got to mention them and everyone else that's been sick that he's known within the last couple of weeks. So we had the conversation of praying without ceasing with him. Hey, Tyler, when you're playing, you can just be thinking about them and pray. So we don't have to every meal pray for grandma and grandpa because we like to eat, you know. And so those kind of conversations. So are you praying without ceasing? Are you in that attitude that your priorities are in order, that those things happen just because they happen? Because chances are, if you only pray when you sit down and are intentional about it, you're missing things that God's asking you to pray for. You're missing opportunities in the Spirit that God is asking you to engage in. You're missing opportunities in the Spirit that God wants you to speak to and to be at. But are you in that spirit of meditation? Are you in that spirit of priorities in order? Because when we do, we can be used by God, and the out of service sign doesn't come up that frequent in your life. So we need to realign our priorities. Number four, and I know some of you are keeping track just by the letter saying, he's almost done. I'm excited, right? What you don't know is after the acronym, I have 3 or 4 more pages, so you're good. Just kidding. Well, I don't know. I got close to 3 pages after. But the thing is, number four is trust. Anyone ever have trust issues? You don't have to raise your hand. But we have trust issues, right? We fail in sometimes trusting God, trusting others. And we get hurt. We get offended. Your trust is lost between people, between father, son, daughter, kids, friends, co-workers. The trust is lost. But begins to cause us to run on empty. Because we can't trust people. We're always trying to second guess what they're really trying to think and do. Anyone ever do that? As you're getting ready to go have a meeting or a talk or something, or you're driving and you're talking to yourself about the conversation that you're going to have, and you think you're saying what they're going to say, and then you're responding to what you think they're going to say, and then you're just all worked up. Right? We do it. If we're honest, we do it. We're like, okay, if they go this angle, I'm going to go this way. We do that all the time because of the trust. It says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended for good to be accomplished with what is now being done and saving of many lives. Christine Kane says it this way, God redeems your pain for his purpose. How many of you could sit there right now and think about pain that you have that you're just like, oh, and it hurts. I'm not trying to minimize what happened or what was done to you or what you went through. But what if you understood that this quote could change everything? He redeems your pain for his purpose. He didn't cause the pain. He didn't send the pain to you to happen to you just so, now I can have a testimony. It's not that way all the time. But what if God was wanting you to renew your trust in him? What if he's wanting you to renew trust in others? Listen to Romans chapter 15, and this verse I love, and this is one of those verses that when I read this and in preparation, it came alive to me. I'm sitting there going, that's good, that'll preach. I said that to myself as I was typing, but hopefully it does. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may, what? Overflow with hope by the power of His Spirit. How many of you here would say, you know what, this country, my life personally, we need hope. What does it say? It says it'll overflow what? When you trust Him, right? So today, what I wanted to ask you is, do you trust God? Are we saying, God, I trust you? Yes, I trust you. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, that's good. I trust you because I'm in church. No one else can see it. No one else can feel it. No one else can get the hope. Because when we leave this place, that's the last time we talk about God. Maybe some of you, and I challenge the students with this, so if it works for you, hopefully it does. How many of you, if you open up your app or the Bible verse, and you're stuck at the last verse Pastor preached last week? Think about it. Were you in any personal reflection? You trust God here, right? And you say, God, I want to be the hope. I want to bring hope to the world. Whew. Man, that was a great message, Pastor. You did a great job. You just knocked it out of the park. We get in our car. We go home. Things are different. But what does the verse say? It says, we overflow. And I know I'm making a mess, but I'm making a point. The thing is, we need to overflow because we have hope. We have hope that they don't have, and we need to bring the hope to them and say, you know what? It's time that we overflow. It's time that we stand up and overflow the hope of God to this nation and to our own lives. It's time that we overflow. And when you and I begin to overflow, it impacts people. Some people don't like it because it's messy, but we have hope because we have a hope in our future. We have a hope in Jesus. We have a hope in those things that they don't understand yet. Amen. And that's the key, is yet. But they will understand it, and I try to be away from electricity. So, but here's the thing. You and I must renew our trust in God so that we can bring hope. If you and I don't trust God, we're only bringing something that we only believe part of the way. How many ever met a sales rep? They really didn't know the product they were selling you. They didn't own it themselves. They didn't have it themselves. So when you're asking questions, they're like, oh, well, and they try to look through a manual. I'm sorry, I'm not buying from you. You have a sales rep that walks up to you and says, this vehicle, I have it, it's sitting right there, this is mine. Let me just take you to mine and show you mine. Here's all the buttons, here's all this. Here's what I like to do in this vehicle. Here's what I like to do with this set of knives. Here's what I like to do with this grill. Whatever it is, but they know the product that they're trying to sell. How many times do Christians try to sell a product they don't even know? We're selling products we don't even know because we've lost trust in God. When you lose trust in God, you run on empty. But when you renew your trust, you just crank it up and you begin to fill your tank. Today, I want all of us to fill our tank more. T.D. Jakes says it this way, the depth of your past is just an indicator of how high your future is going to be. The height of your future, the depth of your past. Think of any skyscraper, any massive structure that's built. What has to happen? A foundation has to be dug. And the higher it is, the deeper the foundation. What happens if what was dug out in your life, what happened in your life, was just about to take you to a height that you never imagined, you never understood, you could never comprehend, but it's going to take you there because you've been dug out and you have a foundation. What if we begin to trust with those things? Number five is the why. Someone say that with me. We've lost our Yagi. Anyone know what that is? Awesome. I didn't expect you to. It is a highly directional antenna. That what it does is it takes selective software and transmits the communication back and forth to another satellite. You and I have lost our connection to God. We've lost the frequency that connects us to God. We've lost that, and we wonder why we're not hearing God. It's because we've turned off that connection. Think about a cell phone with me. How many of you have ever went on an elevator when you're on your phone? What happens? You begin to lose them. If you're a teenager in the room, you're going to argue, no, my phone always works. That's the way it happens every Wednesday. When I'm preaching illustration, they always go against what I'm saying, just to throw me off. But we do. We get in an elevator, you lose signal because of the surrounding. Some of us are losing signal between us and God because of what we let surround us. Have it be people, things, whatever. What surrounds us loses that signal. Have you ever been that person where you can hear them fine, but you're like, I can't hear you. You're breaking up. Holding out the window. I'll call you back because you didn't want to talk to them. Anyone honest, you pretend like you lost signal. There's a few of you. And that's funny. And it's like, yeah, but you know what? When God's trying to get your attention outside of these walls, you're like, God, but yeah, God, I got this. God, you're doing the same thing. I can't hear you, God. We've lost that connection. We need to reconnect. We need to reconnect. And here's what it says in Romans chapter 8. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery that returns you to fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children or God's children. Do you have the connection? That you know what the Spirit is saying, you know what God is saying, you know what he's telling you? Where you can walk in. Have you ever been in an opportunity where and I'll talk about Craving Culture last year, Pastor Mulu was there praying. And honestly, I had no idea what she was saying. But I felt the presence of God. Because there is a connection in the Spirit that man and humans do not understand, but there's a connection. And when you and I begin to connect with God, we connect spirit to spirit to spirit. And then guess what? We can bring hope even more, because guess what? You're not alone. Because you're connected to the Spirit. Today, as we walk through these things and we understand that we have lost engagement, and so we take our lost engagement and we refocus our engagement today. We take our lost meditation and we begin to resume meditation how we maybe once have, or maybe you've never done it, and you say, you know what? I need to meditate. I need to read the Word of God. I need to pray. Maybe you've had some lost priorities and you need to change it to realigning your priorities. Maybe you have lost trust in God or others and you need to renew your trust. Maybe you've lost your yagi, your connection, and you need to reconnect. But my fear is that we hear it and we know it, but we don't do it. How many of you have ever watched a YouTube video? Not just that you do, but to figure out how to do something. A how-to. But how many of you have ever turned it off when you thought you had control and you could do it from there on? Right? You watch up until you think you've got it. That's what happens in church. Church is a YouTube video. It's a how-to, how to live your life, how to do it. But if you don't do it, you don't do it. You don't carry it out. Caleb, where are you? I told you I was calling you up. Come on up here, bud. He doesn't know why he's coming up. Caleb's a young man. I wanted to honor Caleb today because he serves, well, here, but he also serves with Chi Alpha, volunteering and helping run Chi Alphas at different colleges and things like that. And he's been bringing the Word and doing things like that under Pastor Billy's guidance and leadership. And so I wanted to bless you and honor you, because I know you're driving back and forth. So I wanted to give you this gas card, $25 gas card, to bless you. But here's the thing. Take this gas card, put it on your dresser. Don't use it, okay? Right? I mean, but you still have $25 worth of gas you can get. You could be blessed, but just don't use it. But you have the gas card. You know, some of us, we've come into church today, we've been given the gas card. And we take it home, we put it on our shelf, we put it on whatever. And we box it until next week when we come into service. Oh, yeah, that's right, Pastor said that. This gas card means nothing until he gets to the pump and fills up. What you do today, what you've heard today, what you've been processing today does nothing until you get to the pump and fill up. You and I need to fill up with what God is saying. And I am giving this to you, don't worry. Okay. But the thing is, we come in week after week hearing dynamic messages from pastor. And we leave the same and we come back the same. But what if God is saying, I've given it to you, now go to the pump and fill up. Go and fill your spirit. Do those things. Bless you, buddy. All right. I love you. Because that's the reality. Many times we'll hear a message. And we may even go to pastor or the pastors afterwards and say, that was a great message. And not to be rude, but that encourages us, but what a great message it is, you going downstairs and signing up for kids' church and helping, you getting in a nursery and helping, you helping on a Wednesday night, you teaching a small group. What blesses us more than that is you getting involved, serving as an usher, as a sound tech, as a worship team. You getting involved, that's what makes the difference. It's not just, yeah, I feel good. That was a great message. A great message goes into action. So will we step up and be the church so we can reach more? But if we run on empty, we're not going to. You and I cannot afford to run on empty any longer. And because of that, there's something I want to read to you that I read that challenged my own life. And I hope it challenges you as well, if you would just listen. This is by Rod Loy. And this is what he says. He says, what are the symptoms? How do I know if I am running too far, too fast, on too little? What are the danger signs that human efforts aren't enough? What is the signs that I need his strength and not just my own? I don't have time to fight. And then he goes on to say this. I'm going to give you the symptoms that he says. He breaks it down to four categories. Physical. You can ask yourself if you're running on empty in your physical life. And yes, this is not a full list. But this is what he says. I'm always tired. I can't sleep at night. Can't get enough sleep. Constant headaches. Unexplainable high blood pressure. Cold infection and things that won't go away. Maybe you're running on empty. The psychological. I fight any change. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. I'm cynical and I'm negative. I'm emotionally exhausted. I feel out of control emotionally. I'm irritable. I'm impatient. I struggle with the smallest decisions. I'm worried. I'm anxious. People's skills are getting worse. I just don't have it. Are those signs ringing bells and warning signs coming up on your dash today? Behavioral. You've lost enthusiasm for your job. You've lost enthusiasm for your marriage, your kids, your ministry. You don't even want to get involved in ministry. You don't even want to work on your marriage. You don't even want to work on your kids. You spend less time at church, praying, reading your Bible than you used to. That's spiritual. You struggle to focus and listen. You withdraw from relationships. Those are all behavioral. Going into the spiritual, you question your faith, your morals, your values, or you don't even have any. You're not interested in church. You're not interested in ministries, as we spoke in behavioral. You spend less time. You blame others for the way your spiritual life is. You're impatient with the spiritual progress of others. You may think you're fooling others, but you know the truth. When I read that, it challenged me because I knew that list wasn't all. And when I started, some of you were, the lights were coming on. The lights don't come on to condemn you. The lights come on so you address them and you move forward in God. And all of us, we can't afford to run on empty. Our nation needs us. Your family needs you. And this church needs you to run on full. And when we run on full, we do things that are unreachable, things that are unthinkable. As we started out in Galatians chapter 3, it said this, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are now trying to finish by means of your own flesh." How many of you, we've tried that? We get enough of God to where we think we can handle it, and we're done. How many of you, you pray for something, you get the answer, and you're like, wow, I did good with that. It wasn't you that did it. But we run on empty so long. What is it that is keeping you from crashing right now? You can only run on empty for so long before you crash. Today, chances are there's those of you in different groups. Maybe you just got done a crash because you were running on empty. And you need to come and say, God, I need you. I need you to put the pieces back together. And he will. And there's others of you in this place that maybe we are close to running on empty. But at what point do you refill your tank? At what point do you refill and re-engage? The scripture says this in John chapter 8, verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Will you and I know the truth? And will we follow James chapter 4, verse 8? It says, come near to God, and he will come near to you.